Welcome to the Flyover Ministry Podcast, a practical youth ministry podcast for small church leaders by small church leaders. We are grateful that you have joined us for our journey through ministry-related topics that we hope help equip and encourage you as you serve Jesus wherever you are.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Jordan.
And this is Flyover Ministry. Jordan, you're very energetic today as we record this.
Last month I was told that you're always wondering if I'm going to say anything, so I thought I will be fast this time.
Surprisingly spry out of the gate. It's good to be recording a new series here on a new platform. We're trying this out, and I think that this is going to turn out well. A new feature that you may notice as well is a written recording or a manuscript of our podcast available somewhere. Yeah, that's kind of a nice little thing. So a lot of a lot of dead air, but excited to be going on a new series here through the month of March. Jordan, let me just ask you this as we're in the Lenten season now. What's your church going through for your Lenten services?
Lent.
You're just going through
yeah,
Lent?
We're going through Lent, yeah.
Oh, God. Let me be more specific. What are you studying in the Bible as you go through the Lenten season?
Sure. This year we're doing a lot of Old Testament for our Lenten services. So pastor's taking a very Lent is to examine your heart and to basically remove any pretense that you have anything good about yourself as you're preparing to receive Christ. And so it is very much kind of some of the messages of destruction. We were in Amos this last week. So getting some good minor prophets that we don't normally get to, but Sure. Yeah, it's been good. How about you guys?
We are doing a series through kind of the New Testament in the sense of Jesus takes us from one style and pattern of life into a new style and pattern. It's almost along the lines of Hebrews in that Jesus is better, but we're not exactly in the book of Hebrews. We're seeing how, like this Sunday, our Lenten services are on Sunday nights, and I am going to be preaching this Sunday on Jesus bringing us from darkness into the kingdom of light from Colossians 1. And that was a, if you'll recall, the Fly 2005 theme with rescued.
Yes. Yeah.
Rescue, not the past tense, but rescue. And speaking of Fly convention themes, we are looking at the Fly 2015 theme a little bit this month as we look at identity. How about that for an unintentional segue? You're looking at what?
No, I was thinking like, no, it's behold, but then I lined the years up like, oh no, we're looking back. Yes.
Increments of 10. Yes. Fly 2025 is behold. Fly 2015 was identity, which for my money was probably the best fly convention I've ever been to. Probably the best one that has ever been. And I know our fly convention coordinator would argue that point, and I think he's strong on 2009 or something like that is the best one. Sure. But
I don't know what metric Broken. He
uses. You like Broken? Yeah,
I did like Broken.
That was a good one.
Yeah, a lot of good ones to pick from though. I'm a little partial to It Is Written, but that was because I was on the team, so I'll be honest, I can't include that just because of bias.
Cards on the table. I was on 2015's committee. So
there you go.
You're not alone. Let's get into this. Talking about identity.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, we're living in a time. Also, as we kick off March this week, happy Women's Month, all you women. And that feeds into this because, as pointed out in the world and everything in it, we're celebrating Women's Month in a nation that has a hard time being able to define what is that. So, and that feeds into identity pretty well. That's not the reason for talking about identity at this stage, but it is nonetheless connected. So, Throughout this month, we're going to be looking at different issues of identity, tackling issues with identity as leaders, issues with identity in our students, looking at the foundation of their identity, the formation of their identity, and then also just looking at identity from a cultural standpoint, where we're at, where we might be headed. We obviously don't know the future, but looking to see what could be coming down the pike. It's always good to be having our eyes open to that sort of thing. So this week, we are going to be focusing, first of all, on the identity of you as a leader. And as we think about that, this can be a really important point because we think about our ministry, and if we're going to be having an intentional, impactful ministry, a big factor of that is what we are ministering out of. And if we're wrong on the identity piece ourselves, if we're finding our identity or looking to all these external things to our identity apart from Christ, then it's not going to be too inconceivable for us to be leading our students on a path that may not be the most healthy, and ourselves as well. So we really want to focus on that today. And as we start then, I want to ask you, Dan, how do you keep yourself rooted in a biblical identity despite all of the other stuff that we deal with as leaders in day-to-day ministry life?
That's a really good question. It is something that I struggle with, and I don't think I'm alone in that struggle, because there's a lot of different components about your own self-worth, all of these different markers that get kind of tied in and wrapped up into, and a lot of value that I find myself placing upon myself as I go on a weekly basis. And there's all sorts of different factors that I use to try and measure my effectiveness as a leader, to try and feel like I'm not wasting my time. And I think that's kind of the biggest struggle, is to say, like, I want to be the most effective. I want to reach as many kids as I can. How does who I am impact the work that God may be trying to do through me? And I have this mindset, and as soon as I realize it, and I do tend to come back and realize this more as I've gotten older, but a lot of that is tied up in selfishness. In a failure to recognize that in ministry and just in life and discipleship in general, that's a work that God does in people's hearts. And praise the Lord, he does use people like me and you, dear listener. But I think I have to ground myself and remind myself often, very often, on who Jesus defines me as, who he has called me to be, and to remind myself of my place in the greater kingdom, which, thankful that I have a place, and trying to find contentment. And a lot of that is, you know, the dying to self that Jesus talks about. So I do confront that part of myself on a regular basis. But throw that question back to you. What would you have to respond to your own question?
Yeah, I would say that it comes back to the gospel and the adage of preaching the gospel to ourselves. I need to make sure that I'm spending time in God's word for myself, and, you know, my personal devotion time, not trying to find something to teach, not depending on the topic text for the week to be what I'm feeding on, but to really take that time to be with Jesus. And It's definitely a work in progress. I've read a couple different books on it that have talked about abiding, like sitting at the feet of Rabbi Jesus is one. There's a lot out there that really encourages you to remember to take time. And I know personally that if we're going to biblical examples, I can find myself very much in the Martha mindset of just, I need to be doing something. And because there's plenty of tasks in ministry, right? What Martha was doing was not bad. She was meeting needs, right? She was loving her neighbor. But in that moment, Jesus is saying, along with Mary, there's something better, and it's being with me. And
yeah,
I think that Jesus, you know, eventually would have been like, all right, you know, either I'm going to say, hey, let's bring out what you have and I'll multiply it again. Or he's like, okay, now we can get to the food. Like, you know, he doesn't tell us to like totally abscond from responsibility, but he does invite us. This is the better thing. to sit at my feet and to hear from me. And I need to make sure that I'm doing that. Because really there's so many different things that feed into this. And as we think about this, I mean, again, we are kind of a group that, or a podcast that is geared towards small church leaders, is we have our tagline, small church leaders,
church leaders.
Yep. That's right. What it is. And for ourselves, you know, one of the things that we can deal with is, man, like, I hear about these mega churches. I hear about this bigger church in town. Like, is my ministry significant? Does it really matter? In our association, there are bigger things. And so it could be like my value, my worth as a leader is connected to the size of the ministry that I'm entrusted with. And that's a temptation. There's so many different things that can come in. And I find even my own life oftentimes is another thing that disqualifies me to myself. You know, it's just like, as I realize my own struggles, as I realize, you know, I'm not having a very good week this week, and I don't feel like I am exhibiting many fruits of the Spirit. And I don't think that I should be telling kids that, hey, your life should exhibit the fruits of the Spirit. That seems kind of hypocritical. And in the midst of that, I need to remember and hear the words that Jesus is the good shepherd. It's not me. Jesus is the door. It's not me. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the bread of life. It's not me. And I need to hear that and tell that to myself to remember that, you know what? It's not about me. If the best that I can be is a donkey, then let that be what it is. And don't be content to stay there. And like, that's not a sign for complacency, but having that perspective of the identity of who I am, I should be a child of God before I'm a youth pastor. That should inform my approach to ministry, my viewpoint of ministry, all that other stuff.
I feel like when it comes to fruits of the Spirit, sometimes the only fruit that is being displayed is patience and self-control. And you know what? That's enough, I think, a lot of times. Yeah, but you should be joyful all the time. Shouldn't you be always loving? I hear that. I hear that. And yes, we should. But there's some days.
You guys should see Dan's resting face. It is not joyful. He does not have a fruit of the Spirit resting face.
Oh, man. Just a grump.
Yeah. No. So as you think about this, what is your biggest challenge personally to your identity as a leader? Like, what area do you find the most frequent struggle with? Is it like the size issue, the comparison issue, your personal disqualification? What do you think?
I tend to find my identity in just how well our students listened or behave at youth group, which anybody who's been in ministry for any length of time will say is one of the dumbest things you can use to gauge your success. Because I mean,
not my metric.
Not my problem. I mean, oh, good for you, Dan. Well, I mean, even this week, a couple of days ago, after we were recording this, I don't know what happened. I mean, high school teachers talk about like it was a full moon kind of thing, and students were crazy. It was nuts. Somebody must have put a coin in our students because they were just all over the place. They were, I mean, somebody found a lighter somewhere in our church, brought it up to the youth room, and was just playing with this lighter. And give me that. Give you what? The lighter, obviously. I don't have a lighter. Give it, you know, just no, I need you to give that to me. We're not going to have an open flame in the youth room. Well, I'm not doing anything with it. Look, no, I need, it's that sort of thing, right? Where you're just dealing with adolescent behavior. And I feel like at the end of nights like that, I just drive home, and it's at times like that where I text my garden friends and say, I could use just some prayer and encouragement because tonight was not a great night. And I feel like if I was really engaging, or if I was a really good leader, then people would really want to listen to what I have to say, because I'm sharing from God's word. This should be intriguing. And I mean, even the topic we were studying, Jordan, I'll share this. We were studying Job 41, a passage about the Leviathan, and coming to the point of God asking Job, right, who are you to question me? I am the one who commands a beast that you cannot even control. And the kids are like, is the Bible actually talking about like a sea dragon? Yeah. Yeah, it is. Isn't that crazy? And wow, you know, they started getting into it, but then just immediately derail. So I know that there's other things that leaders use, but you talked about the number of people that come, you know, how well I talked about how well students behave or listen during youth group time. Do you use a different metric, Mr. Hashtag not my metric?
For my success with the kids?
Or just your effectiveness as a leader?
No, I probably have, this sounds horrible, given up on that. I don't know. I mean, there's the balance of
leaders.
No. There's the balance of, we want to be evaluating ourselves constantly. Right. And I think that we can do that pretty well. And I know my personality, I'm pretty self-critical. So I'm aware of that. But if I'm looking at like, how well is the council like at actually adopting using minutes for our agendas or whatever, you know, it can be really disheartening. And I know that some of that stuff's not on me. It's what God is doing in the broader context of where I'm at. So I have to let some of that stuff go. But I think that I still struggle in that area. Like I said, a lot of it's coming down on maybe comparison of looking at other ministries and what other people have been instructed with. And then also results. Like, here's a case in point. I was in a ministry context for about 10 years, and then I leave after working with all these kids, and then the person who comes in after me is there for a couple months. I don't remember the time frame. It's probably longer than a couple months. But it's like all of a sudden he's like, hey, we got like 4 kids from this Bible study group that's going to be baptized in the lake today. This is so cool. And I'm like, I saw nothing, you know? And so it's just like, well, what did I not do? So that's kind of where I'm at.
By lake, you mean reservoir?
No, it's entitled Lake.
Was that in Beulah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a reservoir.
But it's called Lake Sakakawea.
Yeah, but Jordan, you live in
Michigan. I just go by what the map says,
I live in Minnesota, and we know better. That's not
yeah, you
lake.
Call puddles it's lakes.
It's a body of water that wouldn't be there if it weren't for certain core
okay, of land of 10,000 indiscriminately named how many water things can we find to give ourselves a high number. Anyways, as we're talking about this issue, it's really important then that we allow God's word to speak truth into our lives and to define our identity by what he says we are. And there's so many passages in scripture. One that Dan pointed out for us to talk about today, I'm going to read for us 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 17. And as we read this, think through, what does this tell me? What does God through this tell me that I am? Okay. So reading in Jesus' name, I thank Christ, Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And as I was just reading this time, what stood out to me was just verse 16. For this very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience. Like, we ourselves can identify ourselves as God's case study of being that guy that is impossible to love, but still he loves anyway. So much here, both with like our previous identity, this is what we once were, to who we are now, and the fact that Christ has called us and given us these tasks.
Mm. Yeah. Think about, I've used verse 12 as a reminder, a grounding call to ministry about how Jesus Christ considered me faithful. And I realize that I'm putting myself in the place of Paul here. Not that I was worthy or faithful, but here is Jesus Christ declaring that here is who I made you to be. In me, this is who you are. And I am going to use you. And you see how Jesus uses Paul by his testimony to be one who reaches for the worst of sinners to reach an entire people group, right? As Paul is called to the Gentiles to do ministry amongst that corner of Asia and that part of Europe. As he goes around and serves, this is who Jesus declares Paul to be. And I think it comes back to this personal check, right, about how you gauge success in ministry, because maybe you are the person who does the number count of how many seats are filled in a given night. Maybe I think especially the temptation is on how full our schedules are. When you look at how many things you can point to and say, look at how busy we are. That's a gauge of success. You can look at the success of how well your fundraisers go, how many people you bring to an event. There's all sorts of things in ministry that, how many people you baptized and mm-hmm. came to faith. How many of your students are inviting friends? Even Jordan, from the conversations we've had before about, how much your group prays. You can even use good spiritual discipline things to gauge your effectiveness in ministry. And your effectiveness in ministry is not on how often your students read the Bible. It's not on how often they pray or how often they come to church. Your effectiveness in ministry is based on faithfulness to Jesus Christ. And the reminder that I want us to just ground ourselves in is that, faithfulness to Jesus Christ is enough. You cannot go out and make fishers of men before following Jesus. And you need to square that away.
Yeah, that's huge. And again, this is the foundation of where we minister out of. And as we look at this, it's also helpful to see where some of the other voices that might come into our lives that challenge this come from, or what they might be saying. There's a couple different things that we hear. You might have people that treat you like a hero. They're like, you can't do anything wrong. We just love everything that you're doing with the kids. And all you hear is positive feedback. And that might tempt you to believe, I don't know where you are, but that might tempt you to believe that, yeah, I've got this down.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you start thinking like, I'm something special. I've got something to offer here. And then you start, instead of ministering out of your identity in Christ, you start ministering out of yourself. And that can be, you might be able to hide it for a little bit. You can like sound pretty good, but eventually that's going to be exposed. It's going to be cracking. It disregards the sin nature that is in us, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't give us room for humility. And the other thing is that you might seem pretty unapproachable to students because like, well, he's got it all together. How do you know what my problems are? The other side of that coin is that there's plenty of opportunities for people to be speaking into you and pointing out your failures. And you can grab onto that and say, I have failed in this way. I have failed in this way. And everything that I touch does not end up going how I want it to go. And because of, like we said, these different metrics, I am not being successful. And you might be doing exactly what Christ has called you to do there, but you're looking to someplace other than Christ to find that identity. And so your identity is misinformed. And that can bring you to a place of weariness and just really unhealth, as we think about where we're at. So the flip
just to throw in something here, finding your identity in yourself, that's a cup that's going to be depleted really quick. Mm-hmm. And even Paul recognizes like part of his identity in Jesus is who he was before. To recognize that Jesus has brought me from this pride mm-hmm. and selfishness and ambition into a life of service and humility and ministry.
Yeah, that's really good. And as we pull these things together, then it's good to look at how do we serve then? I mean, we're not going to totally get ourselves out of the picture. We're going to, again, because we have a sinful human nature, we're going to struggle with this. But when we have that foundation and we are coming back to that time and time again, and we're living out the gospel and catching ourselves identifying by other things and then looking back to the cross of Christ, it comes down to learning how we can be comfortable with leading out of who we are instead of who we want to be and being content. I think about the spiritual gifts here and how often have we heard those lists and we were like, oh man, I really wish I had this other gift. But you know what? No, God has given you the things that make you you, including all of your life experience, including your personality, including your level of engagement and hype ability. Like, there's some people that are fakers when they try to hype something. That's me. If I try to be excitable, then people are like, oh, that's cringy. But there are people that pull it off, and it's who they are. And instead of looking to these other people, it's recognizing what God has given you and what he's called you to, and being comfortable with ministering out of that. And that's a conversation to have with church leadership too. Right. Because as a congregation, you might have people who are expecting ministry to look a little different because their conception of youth ministry is different. And that's worth having, you know, say like, my heart is this. I really feel the Lord has called me and uniquely enabled me to serve effectively in this area. Mm-hmm. And this is what my ministry is kind of focusing on. To focus on something else would result in something that's going to be subpar, not as effective, and potentially even unfaithful to what God has put you there for.
Right. Let me throw a question your direction that's not entirely on our outline, but you brought it up just now. Are there components of identity that your church is trying to project on you as a leader?
I would think at times, yes. I think that there would be a perception of youth ministry being more of an entertainment thing than a substance thing. Not to say that they don't want any substance. I think that they do want substance and they're happy with that. But that there's an element of fun that should be a bigger part of the equation than I make it. Right. But I also would say part of this challenge could be the perception of the congregation putting their expectations on one person instead of a well-rounded team. Because their expectation, if they're just looking at one person, is going to be deficient in certain areas, because God hasn't called or given us, aside from Christ, someone who's got a little bit of everything, right? We have our strengths. We have our uniquenesses, and we should minister out of those strengths. Now, for example, I could be extremely deficient in organization. And if that's me, then my ministry strategy should include somebody who's going to be strong in that area so we can work together. And I think that's the picture of the body that we get.
Yeah. I think it does matter on the kind of story you tell and what kind of reports you give. You know, if you come with a report and say, look at all the stuff that we've done, now people are going to use that as an effective gauge, in a sense of, you know, how do we know that we have an effective student ministry? Look at how busy they are, you know, and that's not the gauge that we want to use. Jason Holt talks about, speaking of the Fly Convention, there was one particular evening where only one person went forward to talk to someone about relationship with Jesus. And, you know, how do you gauge the success or effectiveness of a particular ministry, especially one the size and scope and breadth of the Fly Convention? You know what? That one person going forward, if she was the only one that week that went forward to receive Jesus, you know, Fly was a success. How do you know? Because people heard the gospel, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the story I want to make sure that I'm communicating. And when people do come up and celebrate you as a leader, you know, they're just really thankful that they have someone in that place, because I think they see that there's so many other churches that don't. And I think they see a little bit of a whisper or a hint of the great need that we have to have something for students when it comes to discipleship. It is the story that you tell, though, right? And I want to make sure that people understand that we're trying to proclaim the gospel as best as we can. In yes, the fun stuff that we do, but also in just the everyday crazy youth group time that Jesus is being proclaimed.
Yeah, so I think we're going to wrap it up there. And I hope that this is encouraging to you to recognize, like, Jesus loves you as you are, where you are. And he loves you too much to leave you as you are, where you are. He wants to make you more like him. And lean into that process. But be confident in who God has called you to be, created you to be, and serve out of who God has called and created you to be. Knowing that if God is truly in control, then there's a reason why you are where you are at the time that you are, and trust him and serve as faithfully as you can by pointing to Christ. And with that, may you go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks for listening to Flyover Ministry. You can find, follow, and give feedback on our Instagram and Facebook pages at Flyover Ministry. You can also get in contact with us on our Gmail account, flyoverministrypodcast@gmail.com. You can find other episodes that we've recorded on iTunes and Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, and please feel free to share them with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.